You know, last semester in our Bible school, we had several days. One day, just a few sessions just to pray for this new revival. And I think you was in one of the meetings because they sent me a video on my phone. You know, this people were, students were laid out under the power of God. Now, that's a Bible school. Bible college is different, but our schools to get an impartation, you know what I preach in the mentoring classes, amen, that they'll have a vantage over others because they'll get an impartation. We met one of our students coming from Canada in the hotel that are coming to our Bible school, coming out of Pastor Craig's church. And you know, the devil tried to close that up because of border control and different things and the restrictions that they want us to put on people that come from another country, and we're not going to do that. And I know what they're looking at. Well, we want to look at your books every 3 months, see if there's, you know, any money laundering, you know, and different things. And it would just cause more trouble. And God gave Pastor Craig a brilliant idea how to do it. And now we got several students coming from his church. But I just had a glimpse of those students again laying on the floor and under the power of the living God. I had two kids from a pastor, two pastors, a man and a wife, and their son and daughter came for 2 years, and they told me that our lives have been changed. They got up, both of them preached, brother and sister at our church. One, the girl, you'd be kind, because she had a child, and, you know, from, you can call it what you want, she wasn't married, she was raped, and she still kept the child. That takes a lot of guts, and come to Bible school. And salt and pepper, you know, half black, half white. I mean, that takes a lot of guts for somebody to do that, a lot of faith. I had to hand it to her, praise God. But I just had a glimpse of our Bible school. It's just the glory's going to roll in that place, praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if we just went home right now, it'd been worth it all, but we're not. But we're not. We're going to talk about the double up at the end, so turn around to at least four or five people and say, you sure look nice tonight. Get ready.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah! Praise God. Glory to God. Well, it seemed that during the week, you know, we had the mentoring three nights. And then this it seemed, you know, God dealing with us about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But, you know, on what my wife preaching in the morning, it stirred me up, especially when Jesus spoke to that fig tree. When Jesus spoke to that fig tree and Peter came, like Jesus wasn't even surprised, and he just keeps on walking. See, that went to me. You got to believe when you say it that you know it's moving. Amen. You know, I brought out with a farmer. He said he corn and wheat. Is that what you said? Or corn something? But he don't get out there every other day and dig it up and see if it's taking root, the seed. He just knows. See, if people would just apply a farmer's faith to what you're believing God for. Amen. You know, pretty soon he'll be saying, you know, tell his wife, well, I got the seed in. Praise God. And I know my father-in-law, he already counts in his head what he's going to make off of that crop. Well, why couldn't we apply, see, that same faith into what you're saying in your seed, what we brought out last night. That's a seed, and it will produce. We saw how it produced for Jesus. Amen. We saw the three temptations over there at where he was tempted three times. Well, here, three times, he tried to get him to eat up the seed. I always say it this way, praise God. There's only three times that he's going to come to me, and then he's finished. If I don't cave in, either the one or the second or the third. Amen. So it sounds like he's only got three shots. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, don't one, two, three. Don't let him beat you with three. Hallelujah. See, once you release your faith, first of all, if you ain't got no faith, you don't release nothing but hot air or mental assent. You got to get full of the Word of God. That's why you ought to take some time, get the Word on the thing that you're believing for, get it in, and then release it. You got to release it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then, and we'll bring it out here in a minute, and then over there in Mark 11, where he talks about that, you know, it'll come to pass. In all the years of our spiritual dad, and through the years, we'd always hear him say, matter of fact, I used to sit at dinner, and you'd hear his lips moving. And I'd lean over, you know, to hear what he was saying, right when they needed millions of dollars, and you could hear under his breath, it'll come to pass, it'll all come to pass. And I'm thinking, I said, now, Lord, you know, what's going to come to pass? He said, it'll come to pass what he's believing for, what he released. Amen. I said, amen. Glory be to God. So over here in Mark, see, when they were singing that song, there's importance in that song. Go over to Mark 11. Amen. Praise God. And Jesus answered, well, let's go back to the 20th. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. You got to understand, when you release your faith, you won't see it, but it's working at the root of it. Our next airplane, our international airplane, my faith. I didn't tell too many people what it costs because they'll faint. But I'm talking about my measure of faith.
Amen. Praise God.
I said my measure of faith working at it, and I know that it's working at the root of that, and it's going to get it to me.
Yes,
well, when? That ain't on my side. I ain't putting no timetable on God. That's his side, not my side. My side is to believe and plant. Believe and plant. Believe and plant to get my harvest. That farmer over there, he believes he's going to get a harvest, or he wasn't out there getting his tractor out there and buying the seed and everything else. He believes it's going to come to pass. So he has action. That's the way I build buildings. That's the way I get things. I go out there as far as I can in the flesh and dig a hole. Hallelujah. Now we have a Bible school building going up. And I felt led in the to call it the Hagen building. There was others that got mad at Hagen and took his name off of their buildings. I'll take it. I said, I'll take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he said, and Peter called to remember, said, Master, behold that fig tree which thou curses, it's withered away. Hallelujah. That seed went down to the root of that. And he cursed it. But you can bless things the same way.
That's right.
See, there's blessings or cursings in your mouth.
Right.
Do you know you have the power to curse things? Amen. We curse topless places. I curse that whole deal. Messing up our minds and our fathers and everything else. Command you to close down in Jesus. I curse you. But then on the other hand, see, hallelujah. See, that song fit tonight. And he said, thou curses is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain be what? Now, we brought out the fact that we got to, you know, faith comes by hearing, not heard. Isn't that moving? Isn't that moving things with your faith? They call mountain moving faith. You can move a car to you. You can move a new flex to you. I've been talking about a right car for me. And while here this week, God released me that I can go get my new car. So we're, you know, I'm going to put an order in and order it. I was waiting, praise God. You know, until the right, you know, when the Lord said, yep, it'll be there, praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, right now in the dip, you know, we can't afford it. Like Brother Hagin told that bunch over there in Raymond when they came in, we're millions of dollars behind. He said, your words are tripping you up. Well, you know, on our salary, that's all we make. Your words are tripping you up. We would really like to have a new home, but, and then you look at the budget of your paycheck. Now, don't go out and do something stupid. If you don't have faith, don't do it. But if God tells you you can have it, did God tell you you could have that house on the hill? Yeah, and they went after it and they got it. Amen. I'm going around the airport here now. Hallelujah. Did all natural things say you couldn't build this building? Huh? Even some banks said you couldn't do it. But he said it'll come to pass. And it came to pass. Well, I just have a hard time with it. Well, you're going to have a hard time believing the Bible. That's why you see, faith is having a relationship with God. See, if you don't have a relationship with God, none of this will fit for you.
Yeah,
it just won't fit for you. If you know God, hallelujah. Like, and I mentioned this before, there was a reverend here, and he had to go home today, but he was telling me that he talked to a minister the other day, and the minister said, well, you know, the Bible is not relevant to today. It was relevant back then. It was relevant for Brother Hagin, but it ain't relevant to anybody today. That's the way the world has creeped in the church. The biggest bookseller in the world, the Bible, and it's not relevant to us today. You want to know? See, that's doubt and unbelief. Amen. That's nothing but doubt and unbelief at its fullest power. Well, I tried and it didn't work. No, you don't try the Bible. You believe the Bible. And see, first of all, you got to believe God and you got a father before you can believe what he said. A man like that, you know, he's empty. Hallelujah. So you can come to your church and to our church and do anything you want. I wonder what they read on Sunday morning. I mean, if you don't believe in the Bible, it's not relevant. So you got to do something. You got to think up something. You know, you might as well just go read out of the Sears catalog. Or some positive thinking deal. But the positive thinking only goes as far as you go is with your mind. You know, I think I can. I know I can. I know I can't get your mind. But it's a spirit. You believe in your heart. And say unto this mountain, be the removed. Everybody say, move.
Move.
And be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, he's not talking about your pumper. He's talking about your spiritual heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. See, you got to say it'll come to pass in what you're believing.
Amen.
You can believe it, but you got to say and release your mouth to move it.
Amen.
You could plant the seed, but you got to say, oh, thank you. The Lord said that you have to give a job description to the seed.
Yes. That's good.
That's good.
That's what I heard in my spirit just then.
Amen.
In other words, when you release your faith, you give it the job description and what it's supposed to say, and now you will come to pass and produce. You're going to ask my wife, and I'm not trying to prove that I'm not a liar, but I mean, we just kept saying that building will come up. The bank won't loan us, nobody will loan us money. Isn't that right, doll? We just kept saying, can you see that building? It'll come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will come to pass.
Glory to God.
On my jet, and then I have a 421, but on my jet, to completely rebuild the engine, it cost $500,000. And one of our engines went out. Hallelujah. And it was a faulty, they put faulty fans, so the ones that built it and rebuilt it, they said that they'd do their part and pay it when it was over $350,000. But I had to come up with $170,000. And at that time, I just didn't happen to have it in my bank account. But I kept on saying it'll come to pass. And it'll come to pass. And one of my sons had a 421, and I saw that it was that it might have been too much for his measure of faith, and he was struggling with it. And I said, I'll just take over the payments on it. Amen. And I got it and fixed it up, put new radios in it and everything. Well, we were using that one until the new engine came to pass. But I want to let you know that I have a new engine on that airplane. And for the last 7 months, we've been flying that dude, man. I mean, all over the country. But I just kept saying, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. And a whole bunch of other stuff that I was saying, it'll come to pass. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So the job description, the way you do it, you say, this is what's going to come to pass. And then you say what's going to come to pass. That's the job description of that seed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 That's right. Amen.
When you go to the seed, do you just tell them, give me some seed?
You got to be specific.
You got to be specific. What do you want? Corn seed. A certain kind of corn seed. And that's the kind of crop you'll get. You know, he didn't, you know, they'd think he's crazy. Well, just give me some seed.
Right.
Well, we have, you know, we got all kinds of seed. What kind? Just give me some seed. And that's what a lot of people do. They just throw it all around instead of being specific. Boy, that was good. Thank you, Lord. You're so much smarter than me. You know, when I learned the first 3 years of my life, now listen to this, it'll help you. I found out that God is smarter than me. That's a humble man. Well, you say God's smarter than me. Amen. So on the package, when you tell them on the package, you'll say corn or a certain kind of corn. Well, there's the job description, what that seed's going to produce. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Not bad for 72, huh? Praise God. You know, there's more people get more excited about a football game. You should have got excited about that. Praise God.
Come on now.
Hallelujah. Well, what will come to pass? Well, when you put a job description, the corn, it's going to produce corn for me.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right.
You know, or peas or whatever you're going to plant.
That's right. Yes. Hallelujah.
And we proved it last night. God, in a vision, showed me that years ago, and it's just so simple.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the devil came three times to him. And how did he come? How did he come? Three different ways. How did he come to get his seed?
Relatives.
Staff. And religious people. And that's the truth. In 50 years of ministry, that's where he comes. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This international airplane, people say, Brother Ed, that's just more than, we don't want you to be out working all the time just for that. I said, just be quiet.
Sure.
God put it in my heart.
That's right.
It'll all come to pass.
Amen.
I said, it'll all come to pass. Well, you know, because of you had to believe for an engine, you had to believe, and you had to be out there, you had to do this and do it. You got to realize I'm on the other side of that.
Amen.
That was a time to count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of my faith does what? Works endurance in my life. To next time I'll endure better, and I'll be wanting nothing. Well, you know, you had a hard time. You get this other thing. It's going to be hard. Shut up.
Yeah.
Relatives. Yeah. People that love you and they're watching out for you. Don't misunderstand me.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory. I said glory. I remember the dream house that my wife got. And really, that was to believe God for that house was a time to develop our measure of faith into bigger things for the ministry. And somebody said, "Boy, isn't that something? That house, and that's a dream house." He said, "All my life." How'd you put it? All my life, I knew it.
Did you ever imagine?
In a house like that, she said, "All my life."
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Put a job description on your dream, and it'll become a reality. It won't be a dream no more. He said he'd give you a heart desire. Could I say he'd give you your dream? I could say that. I'm helping you, but I'm preaching myself. Listen, these have been great meetings, man. Anointing them.
Hallelujah.
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 I said hallelujah.
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 And then he said, and he saith, it shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. So you got to say it will come to pass. It'll come to pass. Look at Jesus last night. He kept on moving. The opposition, people that he loved, the religious leaders, staff. He just kept on moving towards it. And it came to pass. And people say, "Well, how long is it going to take?" Shut up. Quit saying that. Quit saying that. Quit saying, "Well, when's it going to come to pass?" That's doubt and unbelief. That's just like the farmer going over there. He planted the seed yesterday, and he walking out there. "Well, when are you going to come to pass?" Do you do that? Huh? No, the other farmers will think you're ding-dong. I know around, my father-in-law's a farmer, and we'd go down to those old cafes, you know, with the fly strips hanging down, that dirty old hotel, and they're all down there in their overalls, you know, and everything else, you know. And we'd sit down, you know, I'd go with him, you know, and have coffee or eggs or bacon, you know, or down there. And all these farmers in there, you know. And it's amazing. And other ones say, "Well, you know, the bugs are bad this year." You know, and another one's talking, this one, oh, and that one. My father-in-law said, "Well, that one over there, he's worth $3 million. That one over there is worth $5 million." And I said, "But you'd never know it the way they're talking." I said, "Their kids will end up with the money, but the way they're talking."
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I said, amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. And then the other one said, hey, you got your wheat seed in the ground? He said, yeah, I got it done last week. Hey, how's the building going? It's going fine. I got the seed in the ground. I got it in the ground. Well, how do you know? It'll all come to pass because I say so. That's why I tell guys, quit saying, do you come to small churches? Don't say that. Just say, well, what do you want me to say? I got 25 people. What do you want me to say? Lie? No, why can't you say I got a pioneer church? You can tell I love the subject of faith.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you move the mountain with your words by saying, it will come to pass. Now, if you didn't plant any seed, you didn't release any faith, and it doesn't have a job description, then it doesn't. You can say it all day long, but nothing's coming to pass. He can get out there. He can get out on his farm and say, it'll all come to pass. All this wheat and this corn. Well, we haven't seen your tractor out there. Did you put any seed in the ground? Oh, no, it's in the barn. They'd really think he's a ding-dong farmer. That's not a good farmer. Isn't that right? If you do, just don't tell anybody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, with that in mind, go over to Matthew 6. I've been preaching this for years during the dip. I've been preaching not to worry. Worry is doubt and unbelief. You know, it's just crazy. You know, the devil gets you to dig up whatever. When you release your faith, do not let him dig it up by worrying. Well, you think, well, it ain't going to come to pass is what you're thinking. It ain't going to come to pass. What are we going to do? And listen, my wife was talking about don't be troubled. The Lord said a troubled heart is an unbelieving heart when you're troubled. We made up our minds last year, we're not going to be troubled by anything. And we, in the natural, we had a lot of reasons to be troubled. And I made up my mind, I don't care. I'm not going to have a troubled heart. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what if the building's burned down? Well, let it burn down. I got insurance as long as nobody's in it. If somebody's in it, they're going to get squirted water because we have automatic sprinklers.
That's right.
It's a law in California. Reminds me of Dr. Summerall. He got off, just came from overseas, and he got off the plane in Chicago, and they brought his airplane to pick him up there in Chicago, and they said, Dad, sit down. We want to tell you something. He said, well, what is it? What is it? He said, last night the TV station burned down. He said, all the way to the ground? He said, yes, everything is gone. Give me the phone. He phones up and set up a meeting down in Florida. I'm going down there and preach. And today there's a new studio. See, that's a man that's unmovable. We've had people in our church, in the first two rows. No offense. The first two rows. Amen! Glory! Yes, that's right! Amen! And then they had a little wind come in and blow some things down. I'm just talking about in their lives and fall apart.
Right, right.
Well, we found out they were windy. Amen! Glory! I wasn't looking at anybody at the second row. I wasn't looking at anybody. All right, praise God. Listen, I gotta get going. I'm hungry tonight. Praise God. Let's go. We gotta go. I gotta get my wings. No, Matthew 6, 24, 25. See, I wasn't looking at anybody in the front row. Oh. Thank you. Praise God. Put it right there. Now give him a spanking. You better, look at that. No. I said in the back room he was a spoiled brat, but anyway, praise God. We still love him. That's why he got a wife that's faster than him. She could run circles. He said, what? What? Don't tell me anything. It'll be preached. If you don't want nobody else to know it, don't tell me anything. John Osteen used to say that. And nobody would phone him up for counseling. It's true, that gets in your spirit. Anyway, moving right along. All right, 25th verse. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now, one, two, three. Now the message starts.
All right.
25. Therefore, well, you better find out what it's there for.
Yeah.
Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That means not worrying. And what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, and what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than clothes? Behold the fowls of the air. There were several years I was preaching about the birds. Get your eyes on, if you need something natural, look at birds. Because Jesus, this is Jesus. I didn't make this up. This is Jesus talking here. Amen. You just don't know the problems I'm having. I haven't got time to go look at birds. Well, then you're too busy. And really, that's looking at wherever your faith is. And he just said, I take care of those birds. And how much more will I take care of you? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And behold, the fowls are there. They don't reap nor to gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better? And which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. And told not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and how much more he'll clothe you? I like more. How much more? See, I got feathers on. He take care of the birds. Look at this. It's a brand new suit. First time I wore it. One last night was the first time I wore it. I have sons in this area that took care of their dad. Isn't that nice? I didn't used to get that. I had an old Levi suit. Didn't even have lining. And it was polyester when I started out. You know the old polyesters in the 60s? You could pull them, they stretch way out here like that. And if you didn't get them clean, the BO holds in that kind of cloth. And one thing about polyester, you can gain weight and it'll move with you. But that's what I say. See, he taking care of me. These guys put feathers on me. Amen.
Amen.
Therefore, take no thought how much more clothe you. Oh, ye of little faith. Then he says, therefore, take no thought. This is so important. Don't take the worry thought and say. This is where people miss it. Don't take the thought and say. Well, let's find out what he said not to say. If you find out what not to say, then you'll know what to say. Now look at, you gotta see. This, God told me this is so important. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Withal shall we be clothed? Now that's all about miracle. One preacher told me, well, he's not talking about material things there, he's talking about spiritual things. I said, you're such a dummy. Did he mention eat? Did he mention clothes? So that's the subject of things that you need to live on this planet Earth. You need clothes. Amen. The era of Adam and Eve is over. They sinned and they had to put clothes on. So you need clothes. And here's something. Did you know they put these old ding-dong leaves on their cells? And then God came in even after, you know, they sinned and everything else. What did he do? He took those old shabby-looking things off. Some of you need to get rid of your clothes and put something better on. They look like leaves from trees. He put furs on them. Now, if you're an animal right, go talk to God. How much more? This suit, the suits, the things, the houses, the jet fuel, everything that we need to do with our job is here. It's things that you need. And it comes to me by my saying and by my wife saying and my children saying. And Stephen was preaching last Tuesday night, and he tells on himself, and he was telling, well, my confession been lousy. And this and that, and he says, it's my own fault. You know, that takes a good, confess up. I've just had a trashy mouth. I'm not talking about cussing. Let me tell you something. Did you know that having a negative confession is worse than cussing? Now, don't go to cussing. That's more dangerous. And then saying, you know, in another word, you know, barnyard stuff, you know, what you call. What did he say not to do? How are we going to do it? Where are we going to get the money? He said, don't say that. Jesus, if he was standing there, don't say that. If he said that, and this staff, and the bishop, if they all, well, I don't know, you know, we're down there at the Holiday Inn for a year and a half with, you know, 5 to 10 people, maybe, you know, a bumper crop once in a while and had 12.
Glory to God. Glory to the Lord.
Where are you going to get the money? The Lord came on the pastor. He told him what bank to go. He told him. He put his suit on. He didn't have his flip-flops and shorts. And said, and I'm the local pastor, and I want a loan.
Yeah.
You know, earrings all over, coming around there out of your nose. God, get out of my office, man. I get the cooties. That'll offend some people. The Bible talks about doing things to your body. And that includes tattoos. Amen. And now they don't, even girls, you know, they don't wear sleeves no more where they can show off their design. Their naked boyfriend or something. You know what they're saying? In front of God, I defile my body because that belongs to me. Honey, that body's going to end up in the dirt. And you better glorify God with your body. Your body is hurt. It's on rental. Your body, when you was born, causes you to be able to live on this earth. If you didn't have a body, you'd be a spirit. You can go through those walls and everything else. But it was I'm waiting on you to egg me on with your rag. Okay. Amen. This body is to serve me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Not to mark it up and dishonor God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Now don't see, if you come here and if you can't take correction, then you'll never grow. You can sit there and give me dirty looks. I've had the best give me dirty looks. I mean, I had a girl, a lady in my church, and she's Sister Bucket Mouth. Yeah, she was always mouthing off. And finally, I gave her seat up to somebody else. We needed a seat, and I don't need anyway. Hallelujah. Let me get back to preaching here. He says, don't say that. Then he tells us what to do. He tells us what to do. Look at this. Take no thought saying what shall we do. For after all these things, this the Gentiles, that represents, you know, the world. For your heavenly Father knoweth. My wife preached on this one time and it went off in me. Now wait a minute. If I find out what he knoweth, then I'll be in the know. I want to know, the Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, Jesus hadn't got up on the cross yet. But what was he doing? See, when Jesus died, and he went to hell, and he rose again, and then he went and said, he left us a supply to move to you, but my God shall supply all your need. I did a sermon the other night. I think it was at the camp meeting, Mamer. And the Lord said, my people, they have that. There's three. One, two, three. Supply, God, supply, and need. He said, they have flip-flopped it. The need, and they're trying to get the supply to move, and God's way down here. You have to flip it. God. The supply to annihilate the need. Hallelujah. Is God first in your life? Is God first in your money? Is God first in your life and in your attendance?
That's right.
Church isn't go a place to ease your conscience for that week. It's a place where you grow up. We brought that out in the mentoring class. And for you to be trained to bring your talents that God has. You, every one of you are so talented with gifts that God give you. And if you don't use them for God's glory, you won't take nothing to heaven with you. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I want him to say, well done. So he's sitting here, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now we're going to find out what he knows for you to know. When you're in the know, you can stay healed. You can walk in divine health. You can walk with the money you need. Now look at this. So this is what he knows. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now what's the Amplified say there? Who's got the Amplified? Read it. Okay. 33rd verse.
But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing
things. His way of doing things. Not your, you remember the song, was it Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, I did it my way. Your way don't work.
That's right. It doesn't work.
If you have reached 33 years old, you would know your way don't work because you're all beat up. When you're 20, you think you're the smartest thing there ever. When I was in my 20s, I thought my dad was the stupidest man in the world. I reached up in my 40s and I found out he wasn't so stupid.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And everybody over 33 say, amen. 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 You know I'm telling the truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Find out how he rolls, how he does things. And it says, and right doing, the righteousness, right doing, or being right, or be right in the way that he does things. So the first thing you need to do is to get your mouth right. Then you get your body right, according to the Word of God. He has an answer for everything in your life right here. Then get your mind right, my wife. Renewing your mind with the Word of God. Get that right. Did you know you could be a squirrel mentally and get saved, be on your way to heaven? You can still be a squirrel. If you don't renew your mind. I just praise God that I got some books and stuff in the church I was, and I started renewing my mind and finding out things. I asked a lot of questions, got in trouble, and I questioned what they were preaching. I mean, if God allows or puts it on you, either way, it's, you know, and it puts sickness on you, then he said he took it away. Somebody's missing it here. Did he take it? Did he lie? If he lied, then forget it. I'm serving a liar. And I was on the prayer team to go to the hospitals, and they would anoint him with oil, and they say, "Now, Lord, if it be thy will to heal this person, if not, we understand that somehow or another, hook or crook, we're going to learn something here." You know, in God's chastisement. Then I would ask, now wait a minute, wait. If you think this is God doing it, then why are you going to run her in and have surgery? Why are you trying to cut out? Right. Yeah. See, they didn't believe that joke. That was just a bunch of religious stuff. Because they said, well, we prayed and it didn't happen. So they put their own, listen, that's dangerous. To put your own interpretation. Well, that one died. We prayed for him, so it must not be God's will. It's never on God's side, it's on our side. And then if he doesn't tell you and somebody dies and they didn't tell you why they died, then it's none of your business. The secret things belong to the Lord. What's that mean? The secret things belong between them and God. I don't care, everybody I pray for tomorrow night, minister, healing to them, and every one of them dropped dead. It doesn't change the word. The word still changes as far as I'm concerned. Don't go tomorrow night, everybody's going to drop dead. No, I didn't say that. Now look at, and be right, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things shall be added. A-D-D spells what? Amen. Well, I don't see the harvest. We put the seed in the ground, but I don't see. No, it's going to be added. Yes. Things will be added. All these things that he was talking about, worrying about, everything will be added unto you. Amen. That's why we come to church, to learn how God rolls, how he does things in every area of our life. Amen. See, I love that song. He was listening to the Holy Ghost. Now, in closing, that means I'm starting to close. Come on, praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at this in James, the first chapter. We read out there, but there's something I wanted to show you. 25th, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, now don't throw that off. I think the original says, if anybody has a belief and bridle not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's belief is in vain. You can deceive, by your words, you could deceive your own heart. My mother said most of her life, little Eddie, I'm going to die when I'm 45. You know, she died at 45. She deceived her own heart. Listen, I minister to people all the time, and I lay my hands on them, and nothing went in them. And a lot of times God tells me. And some said, he said, I can't help them because they already set it in motion, and it can't be stopped, at least on this earth right now, what they have said all those years. Amen. Have you ever heard they go in and they ask about your mom and your dad and you know, what they died of and everything else? Amen. They, you know. See, my genes have changed when I hooked up with Jesus. In my side of the family and my mother's side, where all people ask, what was your family tree? I said, nut tree. I mean, we're all nuts, crazy. I had uncles that were tramps. Today they'd call them homeless or hobo. Most of his life, he lived on trains and hobo camps. And both sides of the family, not hearing a fruitcake. When I got saved, I got the mind of Christ. I go back to my room at night. Sometimes I weep and almost think it. Me when I was such a inverted. I didn't want to be around people. Even after I got saved, I worked behind the scenes. I didn't want to get in front of people. Of course, God had different ideas.
Praise the Lord.
Until God came one night and he put a coal of fire. He put a coal of fire on my lip, my mouth. Your own words. He's just not talking about this piece of meat. He's talking about the words that it forms. You could deceive your own heart. You deceive by your own deception with your own words. You can't go no further. Are you a good sound man? Wave your hand if you are. Do you know what a limiter is in a sound equipment? You don't. Well, I'm not trying to embarrass you. Do you know what a limiter is in a sound equipment? What is it? Yeah, it doesn't let it get out of. It only let it go so far. You know what it is, don't you? Amen. You know what it is? All your boys supposed to know what they're doing. So you don't have to know. They're supposed to know.
Amen.
And you know what you built in your mouth when you say, he said, don't say, I don't know where we're going to get money. You put a limiter in you. And you get to a certain point. And that's as far as you'll ever go in your life, is because you deceived your own heart. So I kept saying, cringing when I would say it. I'd say, I'll go all over the world and preach the gospel like Jesus told me when he came into that bar and told me I'll go all over the world.
Yeah.
I have 3 million miles. I'm a lifetime platinum with American. I haven't flown them in quite a while because they went down, in my opinion. But 3 million miles just with that, besides my airplanes and everything. I have over 14 million miles. On these feet and on this body, because I said I would. Because I said I would. When my first pastor said, oh, you, because I used to stutter like Stephen when he was younger. He would, remember how he used to stutter? I used to stutter that way. They said, there's no way. He said, you'd have to go to the seminary for 15 years. But besides that, you'd have to go through a speech. He said, just forget about that. You just had too much Pepsi and pizza. I'm glad I didn't listen to that. You know, it still overwhelms me because we look on the outside of people. I've even said it. There's no way that guy could be a preacher. And in my younger days, I said, there's just no way. Look at the outside. Look at. And they'd end up being a powerful preacher. I learned my lesson. Not to judge from the outside. Because if you would have judged the way I looked when I first came to church, there's no way. I don't even know if we allow him in church. He looks so bad. Nothing's impossible to you. Nothing is impossible to you. You can deceive your own heart. You can deceive it to have nothing but success in everything that God has for you and everything that belongs in your supply. You know, some of you, we're going to get to heaven and God's going to pull the veil back. Look what was available to you for your supply. Look what was under your name that belonged to you, but you kept it up, you kept it, and you pushed it away because of your mouth. I'll prove it to you. Go over to James chapter 3. And I'll close with it. My brethren, first verse, be not many masters, knowing that we should receive a greater condemnation. And that's another thing. For in many things we offend all. Another translation, I don't know if it's Amplified, say you trip over many things. Remember what I said, Brother Hagin told them that he was millions of dollars. You know, a year before he went home to be with the Lord, they were $1 million. They come in, this is that, we got to do something. He said, your words are tripping you up. And you think, why don't you know we're behind? Your words are tripping you up. Didn't bother him a bit. He didn't care. I mean, when you can get to that point, doesn't matter what happens. And like I said the other night, oh, there's so many preachers. So I'm a different person than I was even 20 years ago.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
The more you get in this, the more you get the word in you, you get secured. But don't, for many things, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Look at that. And able also to bridle his whole body. With your words, you can keep your body healed. Because the Lord said this to me, and I think we can prove that every cell in your body has an ear to hear. Because everything is made has an ear to hear. You saw it in the fig tree. Hallelujah. I've said hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. So don't let your words trip you up. You know, your mind, it'll just come out. And I said, where did that come from? But we, in love, what we say, don't let your words trip you up, honey. That's right. Don't be touchy. Your words are tripping you up. And if you both do that, see what you're doing. You're keeping it both each other in line. Now, they are words out of your mind, and they could be empty, and they won't produce until you say it enough, until you deceive your own heart. Then when it gets into your heart, that's when you're going to have problems. And a lot of those people that do that, that have deceived their heart concerning healing, I lay hands on them and nothing happens. And the Lord said they're already beyond. They're going to die with that disease because they've said it so long and deceived themselves so long, and they won't listen. My mother had a big old medical book that thick. And she read that thing and read that. She could tell you what was wrong with it. She got so caught up in it. And you know, that's what happened. Whether much of our Christian or Christian TV, they have every kind of a thing you can think of now. Instead of looking at the pole and what Jesus provided, they're looking at something else. And I'm not against vitamins. I bought some vitamins Well, I've been here. B12, vitamins. I don't have no problem with vitamins. It's just that I don't do it in fear. But more people talk about, I've taken it. I've had pastors take me in their bathroom, and they got a big old line of all kinds of vitamins and herbs and everything. Now, Brother Ed, you travel. You need the H5-2. And I heard you talk about your mother, and they had mental problems. Well, you need this for you won't get amptizer. What do you call those things? Amptizers. In other words, your brain turns to stone. I have the mind of Christ. My mind ain't going to go to stone. I'm not going to have part of it go stone. But I can't remember what my grandmother's name was. I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to put up with it. Hallelujah. I'm preaching real good here. Well, they do it out of fear. Well, what'd your mom and dad die of? Well, this and that. Alcoholism, this and that. And my grandfather, he had hardened of the arteries, which they probably call cholesterol today or something like that. He died of that. So we better, they check my heart every year, and he said, you got a heart of a young child. See, the more you talk about your body instead of his body, that's what you'll be caught up in. That's why Dr. Oz or Uzi or whatever his name is, Zippy, is so popular because everybody, whoo. Boy, I got quiet then, huh? Well, you're talking about their favorite doctor, they'll crucify you, praise God. Now you're looking, see, you're looking and talking so much about your body. Listen, me and my wife know pastors, when they go into a restaurant, they take their handkerchief out and wash. I mean, they're afraid of germs. I said, put some on me, they'll die. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go around tempting God, because I have, Lysol. I don't have none with me, but sometimes I bring Lysol because I heard that the dirtiest thing in a hotel is the flicker. People come right out of the bathroom, flick, flick, flick. And whatever they're doing in that room, flick, 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 flick. So I spray it with Lysol, not in fear, but I'm not going to tempt God either. You will not forget that. Next time you pick up that flicker, you will not forget. You'll go out and buy Lysol. I guarantee you will. You know, they're in the room. Oh, my. Balance. All right, finishing this up. You will not forget this, I'll guarantee. Every time you pick up that flip, honey, where's the Lysol? It's a proven fact, that is not the toilet. Those are the dirtiest germ carrying things. I got that from Dr. Oz. But anyway. No, same as a perfect man. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and they obey us, and we turn them about with the whole body. Behold, this one I'm going to show you. Also, The ships, which though they be so great, are driven with fierce winds, and yet they turn about with a very small hymn, whether so the governor wisdom. The tongue is a little member, but it doesn't matter the biggest trial you're going. Me and my wife, and I love cruises. I love especially going to Alaska. My wife's not too crazy about them, but I like them. I mean, you can get up at 3 in the morning and you can go in a room this big full of desserts. <laughs> 24/7. And then you run around the deck all afternoon, you know. Some were getting too serious. I had to get a laugh out of you. You know, you had to be part comedian. You get people laughing, they receive better. And the point was not the dessert tray, but that was just built a year or so old. And they say in that big old boat, they just got a, you know, they had a steering wheel in the old days. Now they just have a joystick. Wow. And that ship had 5,000 people on it. And we went into this bay where the glaciers, and he was up there, and he just moved that in that big old ship. How big is your problem? How big is the, how big is what you got, your vision? And they would move that all the way around. And we had a stateroom, which one of my sons paid for it, for me to go, and he was on his honeymoon. We didn't see him, but I don't blame him, but anyway. But we're in the back, and that thing, you know, turn around, we're watching all that, and he turned it with that. Your words can turn things around. I don't care how big it is. If you keep saying it, you listen, you can get yourself out of a hole. Your words can pull you out. Well, it just don't look like there's any way we could get out of this. Even going bankrupt, you can. You can change it. You can change it. Did you get something out of this? Well, stand to your feet and give him praise. Stand to your feet and give him praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Don't you love the word? I love the word of God. Hallelujah. See, I'm not building a ministry. If man builds it, it's all in vain. God builds the house, a man build the house of God's all in vain. I want God to build it. Amen. I know me and my wife, we're in the perfect will of God in what we do. Because God's got us on to the local church to help build and into part to help with the local church. Not to build ourselves up and we're something and amen. But we're doing what God told us to do. I have my wife's going to come in a minute and receive the double up, but I just want to tell you a little bit that we're building a building. We're 77% done. Getting ready to put the drywall in. Then after that, you know, the simple thing. We have two big items that are the biggest, and that's is the elevator, and they want $71,000 for that elevator. They like them for some reason, but just to take us to the second floor. Because, you know, wheelchair. And then the air conditioner is a big item. That's $51,000. And I've been planting seed all over the world, helping others build. See, I know I got to keep seed in the ground to keep getting a harvest. Amen. I'm doing that. But we're going to receive an offering for the Bible school building and the things it takes to operate and run it. So we're going to take an offering for that tonight. But I want you to put that up like that and walk around so they could see you. There's a cloth under there. And that cloth has come to contact with a cloth that I have wore in anointed meetings. And there's anointing, so I can share my anointing with you. The prayer cloth is not for sale. But if you will help me, and anybody over $1,000, I'll give you this beautiful. We had a special made in China by missionaries. And I'll give that to you. Plus, we are building a prayer garden. The Lord told me to do this. And anybody that would give that amount, we have bricks with your name on it. And those students will go out there and pray. And where they see your name, they'll pray for you forever and ever. It'll be a memorial to your giving to help us with kids. We got one in here that is going out of your church, that's going to our Bible school, and many others. And I got to have that building by September. And I want you to help me. Would you do that? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, if you give just $500, I'll put your name on the brick. But if you'll give $1,000, I'll give you this. It's a beautiful. Nobody else has that. They made that specially for Ed Dufresne Ministry. Noel, you met the man in Tulsa. And really, it's a mission outfit. They say it's an industry, but it's underground church. And they have built that. And I want you to have that. Praise God. If you give over $500, I'll give you the brick. And the brick will not be laid up this way, will be a tombstone, but it'll be laid flat. But no, amen, with your name. Everybody at camp meeting that has given to that school,
praise the Lord.
It'll be in that prayer garden.
Praise the Lord.
When they go out there and pray and thank the partners that help us build that. Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise God. So my wife's coming. If you would help us, we would like to give you these things is because of your generosity. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Bring the sick tomorrow night. They just text me today, and my wife told me, but there are several people that are coming Sunday morning. I'm having a healing service. My wife's going to be in Chicago, but I'm going to be there preaching. They're bringing some that are dying with 4-stage cancer. Well, we're going to get rid of that thing. Believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So bring the sick tomorrow night. Don't be stingy. Amen. You share what you got. It's not the pastor's job to sheep begot sheep. And you bring them in. Drag them in. Bring them on cots, whatever it takes to bring them to get healed.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated tonight.